Friday, October 18th. I'm still obsessing over what Brandon wanted to ask me that night at the awards banquet. According to Mackenzie and all the latest gossip, he already has a date for the Halloween dance. So the only other thing I can think of is that maybe he still wants to interview me about winning the art show since he asked me about it 9 days ago. Whenever I see him in class, he just says hi and bye, and that's pretty much it. He's definitely a lot quieter than he used to be. Or maybe he just doesn't want to be seen in public talking to a big dork like me. Mackenzie doesn't help things either. Every time she sees Brandon and me near each other, she rushes over and tries to flirt with him by twirling her hair. She's been doing this all week. I definitely think she's up to something, but I don't know what. I finally mentioned the whole Brandon thing to Chloe and Zoe while we were putting away books. Chloe, who, BTW, is an expert on guy stuff, said I should simply ask him what he wanted. I told her I had already tried to do that, but it was really difficult to talk to him during class with Mackenzie always butting in. And if I asked him to meet me in the janitor's closet for a little privacy, he would think I was a weirdo. Chloe and Zoe agreed with me 100%. Not about it being hard to talk to Brandon during class, but about him thinking I was a weirdo. Then Zoe said she'd overheard Mackenzie bragging in gym class that the editor of the school newspaper had assigned Brandon to cover her birthday party as a personal favor. That's when Chloe said, "Hey, I have an idea. If Brandon is going to be at Mackenzie's party, why don't you just talk to him there? It'll only take a few minutes and then you can leave." "Are you crazy?" I screamed. "There is no way in heck I'm going to a party by myself with Mackenzie and all those CCPs." That's when Chloe got this big, sly grin on her face and started doing jazz hands. I was like, uh-oh, not another of her wacky ideas.
"Nikki, you're not going to be there alone, because we're coming with you," Chloe shouted excitedly.
I could not believe Chloe and Zoe both volunteered to go with me to Mackenzie's party. They said it was for moral support and because they're my BFFs. And not because they wanted to have fun, dance, or flirt with their secret crushes, Jason and Ryan, who BTW might ask them to the Halloween dance. Nope. We all agreed that Mackenzie's party was going to be strictly business. I had originally planned to use the $150 check from Mrs. Hargrove to buy a new cell phone. But when I checked my closet, the only super fancy party dress I owned was from second grade and had buttons and bows all over it. And I wouldn't be caught dead wearing that plain old dress from the awards banquet. So I decided to use my cell phone money to buy a glamorous, designer, semi-formal dress to wear to Mackenzie's party. And for once, my mom actually agreed to take me to the mall instead of our usual discount department stores. I was like, yes! While mom helped Brianna shop for a Halloween costume, I went from store to store trying on the most fabulous dresses. I even found shoes, jewelry, and other cool stuff to match each one. I actually felt like I was doing a photo shoot for America's Next Top Model. All I needed was for Tyra Banks to suddenly appear. She'd smile at me and another model very warmly and say, "I hold two photos in my hand, but only one of you can continue in this competition." The ugly, lazy girl gotta pack and go home, y'all. OMG, I just love that girl. I think she's a wonderful role model for teens. Anyway, I had a blast trying on all those clothes. Wacky emo. Drama queen mean. Baggy shabby chic. Raging rebel rocker. Goth girl groovy. Very scary vampy. Silly celebutante.
Cosgirl Cutie. Unfortunately, none of these styles reflected the real and true me. The mall was going to close in less than an hour, and I was starting to panic. If I didn't find a dress, I couldn't go to Mackenzie's party. Suddenly, there it was. But the only dress in my size was on this very snotty-looking mannequin in the window. So I rushed over to this very snobby-looking sales clerk and tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, ma'am, but I absolutely love that dress in the window. Could you please take it off the mannequin?" But she was very busy putting out a very colorful display of toe socks. And I'm guessing she did not want to be disturbed because she just glared at me and said, "Young lady, can't you see I'm busy? Now shoo, before I call security." I was totally shocked by her totally inappropriate behavior. I even considered lodging a complaint with the manager, since this was supposed to be an exclusive store for upscale customers. Like, who in their right mind would even want to buy a pair of toe socks? I'm just saying. Anyway, I really, really loved that dress, and there was no way I was leaving that store without it. So I decided to sneak inside the window display and take the dress off that mannequin myself. I mean, how hard could it be? Lucky for me, the only other person around was a little old lady browsing the support pantyhose. Things were going really well until I accidentally knocked her over and her head popped right off. Not the little old lady's head, the mannequin's. I was like, oh, crud. Every time I tried to stand her up, she would just teeter back and forth and fall right over again. And her head would roll across the floor like a bowling ball. To make matters worse, a crowd of people had gathered around the window and were staring at me. And this toddler was crying really loud because that headless mannequin must have looked pretty dang scary. Anyway, after what seemed like forever, I finally got that mannequin to stand up. I also found a new outfit for her to wear. Then I paid for the dress and got the heck out of there. Before that mean sales clerk called security and had me arrested for vandalizing the window display. Believe me, I won't be shopping at that swanky department store anytime soon.